You can start. Who wants to start first? You starting first? Neha, Payas, Sharad, then?
So my topic is Michelson-Morley experiment. Before describing the Michelson-Morley experiment, I would like to tell you a bit of history about what happened before that experiment. Basically, it is related to that Galilean relativity principles. So the Galilean relativity principles were satisfied by Newtonian mechanics, the Galilean transformations. Shall I explain the Galilean transformations? According to Galileo, if there occurs an event, then an event is described by four parameters, x, y, z and t. So if we have two frames of reference like S and S dash, and then we have to relate those two frames of reference, then there was something called Galilean transformation, according to which we can relate a same event occurring in two frames of reference. So it was like, suppose an event took place in the frame of reference S. So it is defined by four parameters, x, y, z and t. Out of these three determine the position of an event, and this determines the time. So if we have another frame of reference, say S dash, then let the coordinate be x dash, y dash, z dash and time be t dash. So Galilean transformation basically relates these two things. We can say events. So according to that, we take y dash equal to y, z dash equal to z, and in both cases time is the same, so take t dash equal to t, and we are taking motion along the x axis, so they will be related by x dash x equal to x dash minus v. If we are considering motion only along x axis, y and z remain same and time is also same. So this is called Galilean transformation. So Newton's laws are all they all agree to this Galilean transformation. But laws of electromagnetism does not agree to this. According to electromagnetic laws, speed of light should be constant in all the frames of references. But according to Galilean transformation, then it should change. So there was a contradiction whether this Galilean transformation is correct or that laws of electromagnetism are correct. So there was a lot of contradiction about this. Then it was suggested that if we consider both Maxwell equations, according to Maxwell equations, we get a constant c. This c has the dimensions of speed, and it is determined to be the speed of light. According to Maxwell equation, there was a constant c which was equal to the speed of light. So according to the Maxwell equations only, this should be constant in all frames of reference. So to sort out this problem, it was said, let us consider a special frame of reference. There are many frames of reference. let us choose one of the frame of reference in which the speed of light should be constant with respect to that frame. That is called the ether frame, luminiferous ether frame. So there came three possibilities. Okay, if Maxwell equations are true and Galilean transformations are true, then there exists a frame of reference called ether frame in which speed of light is constant. This was the first possibility. Second was ke relativity principles are true and Maxwell equations and both Galilean transformation are true, but Galilean transformation need to be revised again. And the third possibility was that relativity principles are true, Maxwell equations are true, Galilean transformations are true, but Maxwell equations are to be revised again. So there were three, you can say, preludes of special relativity. I'll not talk about the last two, but the first one, that was and a special frame is there called ether frame in which speed of light is constant. So to prove this, Michelson and Morley, they set up an experiment which required a setup. It was an interferometer, very sensitive apparatus, interferometer. In that, what he did,
it's quite safe.
So So path distance is.
So you haven't asked me the junction. What was Microsoft expecting?
Nee. There were three possibilities na, ether is present and other two. So Michelson was proving ke whether ether is present or not. So he was carrying out this experiment.
No, that's not enough.
You
have to tell clearly. If ether is present, what result you will get?
Achha.
If ether is not there, what will you get?
Okay. Actually, ether was considered a frame of reference which is at rest with respect to the sun. Okay. And now it is at rest with respect to the sun and earth is moving with its orbital velocity with respect to the sun. So it was considered that earth is moving with its orbital velocity with respect to that ether frame. So earth is also having some velocity v. So let us take it in this direction. Okay. This earth is moving in that ether with velocity v. So what is means ke agar this speed of light is c, if we consider this is only this apparatus, but if we consider the whole means with respect to that ether, then the speed of light is different. It is
measure.
But this teammates kar to
L1 plus L2 upon lambda.
for this experiment, putting all these values, we were getting delta n. That is, friendship will be 0.4. Means it should be 0.4 according to all these formulations and the parameters taken in this experiment. But when they actually did this experiment and their this apparatus was so sensitive that it can measure friendship up to 0.01. According to all these formulations, friendship should be 0.4, but and it can measure 0.1. But when they actually did the experiment, there was no friendship at all, and so it was means so again it was very controversial whether ether should be there or not. And some 2-3 more theories were there which proved that ether is still there, but at the end Einstein proved that there is no ether and he gave his special theory.
Why do
we
call this crucial experiment then?
Because it
is not given.
No, it has given, sir, because it proved na ke means the first step to all ke.
No, there was something interesting that happened in the sense that experiment was conducted when?
It was in 1881 by Michelson, then again by Michelson Morley in 1887. Yeah.
So there is about a gap of 6 years, right? And then when did Einstein use these results in his theory? Now, if this is a crucial experiment, why do we have to wait for Einstein? That's the question.
In 1905 he gave this to Einstein.
That's right. But I'm saying that this experiment
yes.
was conducted 7 years before Einstein did it. So if it is really an important experiment that proves something or the other way, as soon as the experiment was conducted, as soon as the experiment results were set before the people, then people would have eliminated each other.
So then people didn't believe, sir.
They have contracted Lawrence.
Lawrence and one more person, they also had
becoming more and more people are less. And that's why.
So that is very important. So those ad hoc theories that were added to protect the theory of ether, that's very important thing. See, what happens normally is that whenever somebody disputes a very established theory, you always add a little more ad hoc hypothesis, saying that, well, if we add this parameter into the whole calculation, then we can still keep the ether into our So finally, what made Einstein to eliminate those ad hoc hypotheses? And why did he, on what basis did he say that that ad hoc was not necessary? So what was the motivation for that?
He postulated that the speed of light is constant very well. Because yes, here we can see that we are taking c plus b and c minus b. So he is saying that c should be constant throughout. That is the time which is actually changing.
So what you are saying is that either you accept the oil contraction or you accept c is constant.
Yeah, and the thing is that his derivation, things are prepared to be very similar. Yeah.
So is it the simplicity that changed the argument?
No, simplicity has its significance in the argument.
What?
Simplicity has its significance in the argument.
No, finally, why did we now accept the
Einstein's interpretation? That is, verification afterwards.
I mean, so the question here is that, you know, it's not such a simple thing that, you know, one experiment you do and then everything falls in place. That's one of the reasons why, you know, we also, when we started this course, we said interpretation is something very important even in natural sciences. So a large number of things are in play. So it's always important to bring in all those aspects together while appreciating whether, you know, something is really a clinching evidence for this way or that way. So, but then there are some times when experiments did move it this way and that way. I think one of the most important reasons why this experiment is accepted as one of the best experiments is possibly the design of the experiment. The design of the experiment is quite amazing.
Actually, they thought that their results were not completely satisfied. They did for many reactions.
And are you aware of any replications of this Michelson Morley experiment at a larger scale? So good people repeated this experiment, not as never being the experiment,
but
at large distances. You look at them, these are done recently. They replicated these studies using very large distances. Any other questions about this? So, I think it's a good thing that I want Nilanjan to take over because it's related to frames of reference. So, let us see if there is any kind of overlap. You are doing a great job.
Yes,
good, thanks. Thanks.
Actually, I am doing in frames of reference outdoor. Actually, in olden days, people means I am going somewhat from old to. From olden days, people thought that the saw celestial body and they were almost uniform, means every motion of celestial bodies were uniform and earthly bodies were the random, means they thought that laws of nature, the governing the earthly bodies were different from celestial bodies. And that also Plato also gave that the means the laws, means he told that the celestial bodies are mostly uniform and earthly bodies are the changes every time and they are particulars and something. Actually, the after many years in after renaissance, like in 15th century, the 16th century, the Kepler found his three principles like planetary motion principles, and in same years Galileo conducted some experiments. And Galileo actually before that the what Archimedes told that force is necessary, means actually what Archimedes told that force is necessary for object to move. Aristotle told that force is necessary to object to move, but the Galileo conducted series of experiments like if an object is moving, if it is making the on a surface, is making a surface move, it moves a longer distance. By this we can conclude two things. One, we can say that by making the surface move, there is more force. That's why object is moving more distance. But if your object is rest and now you are making a surface move, now according to that force will be more, then object should move, but it is not moving. So that could not be a reason. So at an ideal condition, if the object, the surface is really smooth, then object should go on moving. And he proposed this. And he made some more the calculations and found the and made the acceleration concept clear. After that, Newton adopted this first his thing into his the first principle of Newtonian mechanics that velocity, the every body moves will be rest or in continuous motion until upon acted by external force. And means the he could say that because there only force can change the velocity. So we can't say how object is moving, means why it is moving. It is continues to move and move. Then he gave gravitational law, which combined both celestial body and laws of physics and local laws of physics. Actually, this was a main conceptual change. And according to Newton's law, the first law was based on this Galileo that the velocity, the in every velocity, the Newton's law holds. Means now, if we find a reference where Newton's law holds, then every reference which is moving at constant velocity to that reference, then also Newton's law holds. So basically, according to him, space was not absolute; it was relative. Means, if you are drawing a chalk in moving train like this, you could see that chalk is falling. Train should move in uniform velocity. Chalk will fall straight down. But when an observer is seeing at ground, he may see that it is moving in parabolic position. So space is relative thing, but time is absolute. Means when the chalk falls down, the time at which chalk falls is same. Both the observer, in the train, and also at the train. So according to it, time was absolute and space was relative, according to Galilean transformations. And after that, every laws of physics were tried to interpret it in mechanical way only. Means first they thought that force is dependent on distance between the objects and anything. Like thermodynamics also was made like that only. Force was proportional to the intermolecular distance, and they calculated and they were able to prove thermodynamics. And they tried to apply this in everywhere, but they were not able to apply this in electricity. That was main problem. So actually Maxwell Michael Faraday made many experiments which Maxwell tried to explain according to mechanical laws, but he was not able to do. And then in his third paper around 1860s, he left all the mechanical view and he adopted the field view. Actually, this Michael Faraday had this field view in his mind. Means in field view, what is there? Actually, if a charge is there, if a charge is there, it will produce an lines of force, lines field, electric lines of field. Due to that field, the other charge will experience the force. Means actually in Newton's law, what directly force interacted. Now what will happen? One charge is there, it will produce a field, and then due to that field, other charge acts. So in this Maxwell, charge is not important, means field is important. And he tried to explain that changing magnetic field produces an electric field, and change in electric field produces a magnetic field. And from that he was able to deduce an wave, means which was equal, whose wave speed was equal to speed of light. And after that in 1886 or some, Hertz proved that light was an electromagnetic wave. And so now actually for the first only they have proved that light is a wave. So for every wave there should be a medium. Like, so they propose that light travel in a medium called ether. Actually now they also found that light is transverse in nature, not longitudinal. So ether should be means highly elastical and more almost negligible inertial medium it should be. And now they want the try to find out the mechanical properties of ether, which they made, it was very difficult for them to find. And the now only the now the after many the then they thought that if the now how they thought how ether interact with the our means how ether interact with us. And suppose you consider a room. A person is there. And now outside one more person is there. Now this and here one bulb is there. Now this person is moving with constant velocity v and he is at rest. Okay. Now if he is continuing, actually they propose that ether is everywhere in the universe. So there will be ether here also. First let us suppose that ether is just like air. Means if it is just like air, if this box moves, then ether also moves with this. If ether also moves with this, then what happens? The person here will see that velocity of light is the constant everywhere in ether, in all directions. But here what we will see, velocity in this direction is more than velocity in...
You are telling ether also moves with this?
Yes.
Okay, yes, suppose ether is like air.
Ether is like air, first we are seeing. Means they are attracting or expanding mechanically. So if the person in this feels that this side velocity is more than this side velocity. But experiments show that this is wrong. Means if it is true, like if a star is approaching us and emitting light, then that velocity of light should be greater than if a star is moving away and finding the light. And many things like if wheel is there and if wheel is rotating, and suppose ether is there, right? This wheel will drag the ether. And now if light is going here, then velocity of light here should be different from velocity of light here. But all this, they tried many experiments, this was proved wrong. And then they assume that ether is everywhere constant, like this. Now, actually ether is not moving along the box, but the light, it is in a sea, how ship is moving. Ship is moving in sea, but sea is not moving. Like that, this box is moving in ether. Actually, this contradicts Galilean relativity. Means here ether is absolutely a rest frame by this assumption. But in accordance with the Galilean transformation, but it was proved wrong. So they thought like this. Now same experiment was conducted. See, now ether is same and now box is traveling with constant velocity. Now this person is rest with respect to ether. Now according to this person, what he will see is rest with respect to ether. So velocity of light in ether is constant. It is given by under root mu or by E naught. So you will say that now velocity of light is equal in all directions. And but in this person, if box is moving, but the velocity of light is u c. So he will see that velocity of light in this direction is c plus v and in this direction c minus v. Actually this experiment was carried by Michelson already. In this experiment they tried in different directions. Like suppose Earth is moving, we see that they conducted this experiment on Earth. Now Earth is moving with respect to ether. So if you are Earth is moving from this direction to this direction, if you are conducting this interferometer experiment in the direction of movement of Earth, then we should find the velocity of light different from this, the opposite direction. So due to difference in velocity of light and combining the two light, we should get the fringes, interference fringes, but we are not getting. So this is also false. So this also turns into false. Now both assumption turns into false, and this then led to high confusion. Many theories were proposed to support either light. Lorentz tried to explain that when we carried out interference, the experiment, due to movement of this, this length contracted and this length expanded. Actually this is somewhat real, but he could not explain directly how it contracted. He told that it contracted because of ether. And in 1905,
in the ancient proverbs that Vita is not at all necessary to make this much on the ether is because of ether this much complication is there. If you assume that there is no ether and assume that velocity of light is means space has a property to conduct light by itself and velocity of light is constant in every medium, every inertial, the velocity of light is constant in every inertial frame. Then we can explain everything. And actually when the ancient proposing this paper in 1905, I read that he don't know much about this in the Michelson-Morley experiment. He was actually inspired by small experiments like a bar magnet is there and there is the coil, copper coil. Now we are moving bar magnet. You will find an electric current in this copper coil. And this is the one explanation of this is due to this bar magnetic comes closer, then magnetic field changes which produce an electric field according to Faraday's law. Now you move this coil, this what you will observe, then also a current changes. But this explanation is different. This is due to Lorentz force. But both result in same current, same EMF. So he got a symmetric idea of this that electric field, electric means electromagnetic forces are also same in all inertial frames. That was his main this. He assumed that now according to his assumption the velocity of light is on the constant in every inertial frame. So now what these two observe the person will see. According to this person also velocity of light should be seen and according to this person also velocity of light should be seen.
Then that one you put ether is means constant and means the person which is inside the lift. In this direction it is equal to
and opposite direction.
So what we control means how you just prove that?
By Michelson one is
by Michelson.
Both should observe C. But so basically here also is C and here also basically if this how is measured means our measuring technique should be changed. So our measuring of time and space should be changed. Here means C is if measure C by some scale and time. So that concept should be changed. That's the main idea.
But the ether is present everywhere like you see and the box is moving. So for the person outside it will be C plus V and
no. For person outside ether is constant only everywhere. So it will be C. Ether is everywhere, it's not moving. And person is also less
than ether is C.
No, ether is less.
Ether is at the velocity of light is C.
C in ether. That is derived now under the and then we made many
calculations. Can you briefly put together the various things that you have said and how are they related? I am not able to make one single picture.
This is a problem, sir.
How do you want us to relate the various things that you
say? First, in ancient people thought that different laws, the nature law was different in different spaces. Okay. Now, after that, they thought that in space, the nature law was same. And then after that they thought that time was absolute. And space was like relative only in Newton laws, is the Newton mechanical. And then in Einsteinian mechanics it also tells that nature law is same in all inertial frames. But here time was relative. Actually, I think that actually real nature also feels like that, which is true for everywhere, not only in inertia frame. That I feel. Means in non-inertia frame also it should be true. That I feel.
What was the need for introducing this concept? You see, there is some amount of invariance, even without bringing in Einstein. So, how did we achieve
that?
Einstein is not the only one who has proved this, but given the reference frame, the equivalence of reference frames.
Yes, Galileo.
The question then would be that without bringing in anything, just take for example an inertia frame. Can you tell exactly what was the need for introducing that feature?
Inertia frame.
And what kind of physics would be there if you don't have inertia frame? Forget about Einstein, forget about Michelson model, forget about all that. The inertia frame was there. Available even for Newton.
Yes.
So the question then would be, what has happened after inertia frame was introduced? How significant is this?
Means if in inertia frame if there is a force, we can find direct physical consequence of that force. So means if in inertia frame the body must be constant velocity, so any force, there is any change in the, if a body sees any change of motion in some other body, it can predict that there it is caused due to some particular force. But in non-inertial, and that force is equal to F equal to m into a. This can we can say. But in non-inertial frame, we cannot predict this. We cannot produce it.
No, it's not clear to me. What is in constant motion in inertia frame?
Person, if suppose a person is moving.
Is it the phenomena or the frame?
Frame is constant motion.
That is very important.
Frame is in constant motion. If a frame is in constant motion, he can judge that if he knows that he is in constant motion, he can judge that moving the if some other body is the moving means is rate of change of the velocity is taking place. It is due to that some external force which is there. If it is in not in inertial frame suppose, and now he is moving in some lift, in train which is accelerating. So if we draw a closer in clockwise, then what happens? It moves like backwards. And he can't explain a force which is equal to, means he is not sure whether the what is the consequence of that force. He can't apply. That is problem. He can't apply the Newton's.
We have to take some modification to explain.
Actually, he can apply, but if he knows that he is moving with constant acceleration, he can apply. But if he is not capable, means he is surrounded by such a thing that he is not knowing that he is moving constantly.
So if we introduce this concept around the meters, otherwise you won't understand. Now is it introduced because the reality requires it?
Reality requires.
Because
initial
frame
was
our understanding
requires. Our understanding
requires, yes. So now, keeping this in mind, what difference will Einstein bring to this one? Well, you don't have to reply right away, but keep that question in mind.
Because he said that time does not do something related to time, that for two even in a certain frame the time observed is not good. It is related to the
yes.
In the sense that because earlier as you said, space is considered not an absolute.
Sir, he also
whereas time was considered absolute.
Yes.
And he also talked about simultaneity. Means simultaneity is also relative.
Yes. That is, means that is, that will come upon directly from time is relative. If time is relative, then events will be also relative. Then some object, some preference, when that some event will be simultaneous and some it will be one after the other. That
so if
you
made everything non-absolute, if I can use that word, then are we safe?
Sir, I have doubt. If a person is in non-inertia for complete years, can he the any find any time in the can he derive a Newton's law?
Can he define?
Derive Newton's law. Like he suppose Newton is there, means he
okay,
has capability
assume,
of.
Let's assume that Newton is
the,
moving
in non-inertia frame.
Non-inertia or inertia?
Non-inertia frame. Means he has capability of deriving Newton's law. But he is moving in non-inertial frame. Can it deduce that in inertial frame only it is the force applied physically? The difficulty means what will be the nature's law in that frame?
So,
many
of you want to answer this question?
Means he is capable of deriving, how can it tell that this frame is non-inertial? Yes, his thought experiment will be different.
So, in what kind of a condition would...
Or otherwise, we will deny all these laws and to every force we will say that a force is always
always
so, in what way are we different? What kind of difference frame are we doing?
Well, we are also in the
non-inertial frame only.
But it is so...
Less that we can imagine the inertia.
And we can approximate it to a
inertia. So, you can also do the same.
But it
is not for that.
Sir, actually, if you are living in a non-inertial frame, then the velocity certainly over. It will not go with respect to another frame. That's it. You will not be able to distinguish whether I am living in a non-inertial frame.
So the question is that suppose he can see the possibility of different directions.
No, then he will apply some virtual forces only, no sir.
Then
he will
see that it will be acting as a
non-inertial.
Right.
So therefore, what he needs is the difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, as long as there is a difference, he can derive the theory in the so you are assuming of a possibility where there's just one frame and nothing else.
Yeah.
And then everything will be different. But the interesting thing is that why? So can you answer why?
Sir, the question is from you.
The question is that suppose there is only one difference. And there is no way how you can even conceive of distinction between different difference frames. In such a kind of a situation, what kind of physics can you think of?
Sir, then we, the law which we will formulate will be different, somewhat modified. Because we don't have idea of other reference.
No, no, that's fine. I mean, you're saying that they will be different. But I'm actually trying to understand what kind of science would that be? I mean, what kind of physics would
that be? You're dealing only one frame is there.
Yes, only one frame is there and how can we explain?
Sir, that physics would work only.
No, my question is that, I mean, is it actually possible for you to say anything about the world?
Is that Merkel? Only that frame is there, nothing in there. Only you are telling
in some, that frame, something can move, no?
So, my question
here
is,
with respect to that thing, there is another frame.
See, my question is something. Suppose you are thinking about a world
okay.
Where there is only one frame. What does it mean? What is the meaning of, first let us understand, I mean is it an absurd idea or is it actually possible at least to talk?
It's
whether it is
It is not possible in thought also.
It's possible in thought.
If that is.
We can create two different states.
So we can create, but we can
make everything
with us.
Yes.
Two objects are moving. So one object can be in one direction, another object can be in another.
That's right. But then, my question is that then, even in that world, you haven't created a world with one frame.
Yes.
Yes, many frames come there
so,
also.
As soon as you know there are objects
moving, then new frames
moving come. Differently. There is always a possibility to introduce particles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in a sense, therefore, the physics is possible only if there is variation. If there is no variation, then you just can't have physics. That's the point. I mean, the variation you just can't think
of. Good.
So we have to, we'll break.
Yes, sir.
So we'll come back at 45?
Yes, sir.
I'll come back in a minute.
I have a very short time. Surely, are you doing
Why?
Hello, Pranit speaking.
Sharad
is not
speaking.
Pranit speaking.
मुझे तो वही लगता है
the results.
Because